May 22nd to May 28th on participating products.
Now through this Sunday at Advance Auto Parts, get an amazing deal on oil. A 5-plus quarts jug of Valvoline conventional motor oil on sale for just $16.99. Sign up for Valvoline's engine guarantee and get an additional $5 off after rebate. At Advance, we know high gas prices are a pain in your wallet, but we've got the remedy with great savings, and we'll match any lower price on the same item. Great prices at Advance Auto Parts. One more way, service is our best part. See store for details.
Seeing stocks dropping a little bit so far in early trading today as we get two new reports on the economy. Fox Business Network's Lauren Simonetti here live.
Dave, the economy grew in the first 3 months of the year, but at a slower rate than we thought, GDP coming in at a revised 1.8%. Still no relief for the unemployed. A greater than expected 424,000 people filed for initial jobless claims last week. Wall Street's disappointed. The Dow is down 58 points. Tiffany is benefiting from higher diamond prices. The jeweler reporting global sales rose 20% last quarter. Disney says SEAL Team 6 can have its name back. It withdrew its application to trademark the phrase for the team that killed Osama bin Laden after the Navy rejected. Dave.
That's Lauren. Oil prices, they're down a little bit, back under $101 a barrel after surging up yesterday. The price of gas holding steady. AAA's self-serve regular average remains $3.81 a gallon. A country boy is the next American Idol.
Scotty McCreery!
And no one is cheering louder than the 17-year-old's biggest fans in North Carolina.
In Scotty's hometown of Garner, just outside Raleigh, his friends and coworkers say they're buzzing today after the local boy's big win.
It just feels like we won the Super Bowl here in Garner.
That's Terry Mascaro, the manager of a Lowe's food store where Scotty used to bag groceries until getting his big break on American Idol. In Raleigh, Tom Graham, Fox News Radio.
The Mavericks silence the thunder in the NBA playoffs.
They throw it to Durant, a long three. Off the rim, won't go.
Oklahoma City comes up short on ESPN after blowing another late lead. Dallas won 100-96, taking Game 5 and the Western Conference Series. The Mavericks move on in the NBA Finals to face either the Heat or the Bulls. Tonight, the Heat could clinch that in hockey's playoffs.
St. Louis moving in. He's got Downey with it. St. Louis goes!
The Lightning strike five times, beating the Bruins 5-4 on Versus. Tampa Bay forcing a Game 7 against Boston in the NHL's Eastern Conference Finals. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
AM 1460, WVOX, and WVIP HD3, New Rochelle.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of Andrea McArdle, Don McLean, Kathy Wilson Conroy, and the Sound Shore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
My name is Joe Pollack. I'm in charge of running the Indian Point Energy Center safely. We understand your need to hear from us about the safety of Indian Point, so here are some facts. Indian Point has been designed to withstand an earthquake 100 times the magnitude of the strongest earthquake ever recorded in this area. However, it is important to remember it was the tsunami, not the earthquake, that caused the loss of power to the cooling systems at the Japan plants. At Indian Point, we've added multiple layers of on-site backup power sources that are safe from flooding to assure our cooling systems will work whenever they are needed. All who work here have complete confidence in the safety of our plants. We continuously upgrade our systems, train constantly, and build redundancies in all our operations to assure safety. Our families and friends live here too. We would not be here if we didn't also believe that Indian Point provides clean, reliable, lower-cost power safely. Visit us online at safesecurevital.com.
The Wartburg Adult Care Community offers the right care at the right time to help you be as independent as possible for as long as possible. That might mean living at home with a little help from the Wartburg's licensed home care agency, or spending time with friends and enjoying activities at Club Wartburg's adult day programs. It might mean downshifting to a spacious, independent rental townhouse on the Wartburg's 36-acre park-like grounds that leaves the worries of home maintenance behind. Or if companionship, gourmet meals, and a little extra attention are in order, then Meadowview Assisted Living may give you a new view on life. And after illness or injury, the Wartburg's Rehabilitation Center assists in recovery to your highest possible functional level so you stay strong. Nurturing mind, body, and spirit in our community for over a century, the Wartburg is committed to helping you live longer, live better, and love life. Call 914-669-0800 for information on the many ways the Wartburg cares.
Our weather forecast for Westchester County and vicinity. We've got some great weather coming up over the next several days. Mostly sunny today. Temperatures of 80 to 85 on southeast winds. For tonight, partly cloudy for the evening, mostly cloudy overnight, some patchy fog or nighttime lows in the mid-60s. But then back to mostly sunny weather on Friday, with Friday's highs in the mid-80s after a little bit of early morning fog. Partly cloudy at night, mid-60s. Saturday, sunshine, upper 70s. Sunday, partly sunny. Highs are ranged to near 80. Memorial Day, mostly sunny, about 83 to 88 degrees. I'm meteorologist Heath Pelletier of WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
At home.
Kind of get you going in the morning.
At work.
It's on all day here.
In the car.
Every afternoon on the drive home.
We're everywhere you are.
Thank you for being there.
WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lebensold, your host for the series on the natural world, education, and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, May 26th, 2011, the 68th day of spring. We have gained 2 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 25 minutes since last we met 2 weeks ago. It's getting brighter and longer. The sun rose at 5:29 this morning. It will set at 8:16 this evening. We will have 14 hours and 47 minutes of daylight today. The moon is up right now. Of course, it's in the day sky, so you don't see it. Were it in the night sky now, you would see it. It will rise at 2:38 this afternoon. I'm sorry, it will set at 2:38 this afternoon. I got my notes all mixed up here. It will set at 2:32 this afternoon. That's old stuff. Let me make it very clear that you know exactly what's happening. It is up now. It will set at 2:32 this afternoon. Then it will rise again at 2:19 tomorrow morning, and it will set at 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. Now you know exactly when the moon is coming up and when it's going down. We're 2 days past last quarter. Next full moon is on June 15th, and summer comes in on the 21st, just 6 days later. Next high tides in New Rochelle at 8:01 p.m., in Yonkers at 5:45 p.m., and in Peekskill at 7:08 p.m. It's getting to be boating weather, and by all means, be aware of your tides so you don't ground out on some of those high rocks and reefs. Our regular feature now, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Two Marines were killed when an Afghan police officer opened fire at an Afghan National Police compound in Helmand Province on May 12th. Those two were Sergeant Kevin Brian Balduff, age 27, of Nashville, Tennessee, with the 2nd Marine Expeditionary Force, and the other was Lieutenant Colonel Benjamin James Palmer, age 43, Modesto, California, also of the 2nd Marine Expeditionary Force. And that's a fairly high officer that it hurts us to lose. It hurts us to lose all of these men. But strategically, when you lose an officer above major or even major, it hurts us. Also, Sergeant Amaru Aguilar, age 26, from Miami, Florida. He was with the 1st Infantry Division, killed by small arms fire in Kandahar Province on May 13th. Sergeant Robert C. Schlotte, age 26, of Norfolk, Nebraska. He was with the Nebraska Army National Guard. He died of a non-combat illness while on leave near his home, actually. He was at the Methodist Hospital in Omaha, Nebraska, when he passed away. Specialist Brian D. Riley, Jr., age 24, of Longwood, Florida. He was with the 25th Infantry, died in Kunar Province on May 15th. There are no further details, whether it was combat or illness or accident. Private Lamoral Jerome Tucker, age 26, of Gainesville, Florida. He was at the 25th Infantry. He was one of 4 soldiers killed by roadside bomb in Zabul Province, these are all Afghanistan, on May 16th. The other 3 were Staff Sergeant David Duane Self, age 29, of Pearl, Mississippi. Private Chesray Presley, age 21, of North Charleston, South Carolina. And Specialist Bradley Lewis Melton, age 29, of Rolla, Missouri. Also, Specialist Brandon Michael Curtin, age 25, of Centennial, Colorado. He was a Screaming Eagle with the 101st Airborne, killed by small arms fire and mortar rounds in Kandahar Province on May 18th. And you can be sure that when the Screaming Eagles are involved, that's the 101st Airborne, when they are involved, they're right in the thick of things. So he was killed in combat, clearly so. There's no accidents and no he happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. These fellows seek out what to them sometimes is the wrong place, although for America, it's the right place. Also, a number of allies were killed in this period, as they always are. This week's allies were from Jordan, Romania, Hungary, England, and Australia. And as war is an equal opportunity killer, Sergeant Orsolya Roth, a female soldier from Hungary, was killed with a male counterpart when their mine-resistant, ambush-protected, armored vehicle overturned in a traffic accident in Bagland province on May 17th. So they were in a vehicle that was mine-resistant, ambush-protected, armored, and they still got killed in it. These 10 American soldiers and a number of our allies were alive on the day of our broadcast 2 weeks ago. All of them were alive 2 weeks ago, and tragically, it is certain that some of our troops who are alive at this moment, perhaps from our area, perhaps listening to our WVOX internet stream right now, will no longer be alive when next we meet 2 weeks from now. Please think about our troops, particularly with Memorial Day arriving this weekend, but always. Memorial Day is this Monday, which is May 30th, and that's the actual day of celebration. Most frequently, Memorial Day is celebrated on the nearest Monday to create three-day weekends. That's regrettable. Memorial Day should always be observed on Memorial Day. It is a solemn holiday, not one to look forward to for a long weekend. I think that's just wrong. The next Memorial Day celebration on the actual date is in 5 years on May 30th, 2016. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the near future, because there are no more deaths to report. Okay, time for the Culture Corner, my reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions, and you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. We saw the Westchester Philharmonic, a great, great orchestra. You may not know it, but we do have a kick-butt professional orchestra right here in southern Westchester County. It's in White Plains on the campus of SUNY Purchase, very accessible, lots of parking. They had a little problem earlier this year when world-renowned Israeli violinist Yitzhak Perlman, in his third year as musical director, left abruptly and took his 300-year-old Stradivarius with him. And he also has another Guarneri, I think, also 300 years or 250 years old. Great, great violins, worth millions each. I don't know if he owns them or somebody keeps them for him and lets them play, because he is the best known and probably the best violinist in the world. But we got lucky. Executive Director Josh Warby scored big when he got Jamie Laredo as guest conductor, at least for this performance, and I had the pleasure of making his acquaintance after the performance. Along with very talented young pianist Orion Weiss, they turned this program of Rossini, Chopin, and Beethoven into nothing short of wonderful. The thing about classical music, any good music really, but especially classical because it stands so much taller than other forms, is that when it is played well, it makes the mind wander to wherever it must. The Chopin Piano Concerto took me on a journey into a modern Elysian field, a trip to the very best of my compassion and goodwill. It's very interesting. As the music was that sweet, I just went to sweet places. But during stormier passages, I wandered to battlefields and ships at sea, and then the dark passages brought me straight to those hidden places in my mind, which I will not share with you. Scary, however, how influenced we can be by music, and that is the magic of music, and classical, when well played, stands taller than any other form. Whatever you may like, if you hear the best of classical played by competent or talented musicians, there's nothing compares to that. Pianist Orion Weiss's fingers flew across the keyboard, making the music soar and transporting me. There was a bassoon solo during the larghetto. It was sublime, and the counterpoint between the flute's arpeggio and the bass's pizzicato was superbly performed. Naturally, credit for the written score goes to Chopin, but it takes musicians of high caliber under a skilled baton to bring it off. And Mr. Laredo is such a conductor, and these musicians are such musicians. I could not sit still. I wondered how so many in the audience could. Did the music not reach them? How did they not bounce around in their seats during passionate passages? That was a mystery to me. I was sitting there and bouncing in my seat, and I looked around, and it was just a sea of quiet sitting people. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Capping off the concert was the best-known symphony ever written, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. The orchestra played it beautifully, and the hall's acoustics carried it evenly and symmetrically. Great concert, great orchestra, great venue. You'll find them at westchesterphil.org, www.westchesterphil.org, or just Google them. The current season is over, but I will surely attend as many of next year's concerts as possible, and I recommend that you do the same thing. I have some editorial remarks I'd like to make. We'll probably run out of time in the middle. How much time do we have? About a minute, minute and a half? Okay. All right, I'm going to start, and I'll continue when we come back after the break. There's a couple of items. First, let's stop using the phrase global warming and switch to climate change. Both are valid, but global warming can easily be brushed aside because it's easy to ridicule a rise in global temperature of just a fractional degree a year. And in fact, in the whole 20th century, the average global temperature rose by about 1 degree. Well, anyone can say, oh, that's nothing. You know, and of course, it sounds like nothing. And at current levels of usage of fossil fuels and deforestation, the two biggest factors, it'll rise between 2 and 11.5 degrees in this century. Now, two, you could say the same thing. 11.5, you can't. But who says? Science is not exact, and it doesn't pretend to be exact. All science does is say, this is what we have observed. Everything else is speculation, and we try to prove it. What is observable, however, not global warming, but climate change. Climate is very sensitive to such tiny changes in global temperature. So consider changes in climate that you can observe. And I've got a lot of them. Joplin, Missouri, the tornadoes, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, tornadoes, fires burning across Texas, droughts in Texas, record snowfalls and rainfalls across the Midwest. This is all in just the last couple of years. And when we come back, I'll give you a couple more. We will be. You are listening to AM 1460 WVOX in New Rochelle, New York. And if you're listening in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or Joplin, Missouri, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live, and we will be right back.
Business news at 20 minutes past the hour, every hour. Here's the latest update from the Fox Business Network on WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD2.
From the Fox Business Network, stocks are under pressure in early morning trading after some disappointing economic news. At 10 a.m. Eastern, the Dow was actually down 65 points. A weaker-than-expected report on initial jobless claims showed more Americans joined the unemployment line. 424,000 people filed for first-time benefits in the latest survey, marking the seventh straight week claims topped the 400,000 mark. The four-week average, which smooths out volatility, eased up slightly. And the latest revision of GDP shows the economy grew at a much weaker pace during the first quarter, the annual rate rising only 1.8% during the first 3 months of the year. That's unchanged from last month's estimate, but well below Wall Street's expectations. And sales of foreclosed homes were down in the first quarter compared to a year ago. But RealtyTrack says those sales accounted for nearly 30% of all home sales in the first 3 months of the year. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Adam Shapiro.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 800-98-STEEL.
800-98-STEEL.
That's 800-987-8335.
Welcome to Free Radio.
Free.
No download fees, no subscription fees, and
it's accepted by the American Dental Association.
WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD3.
1460 WVOX.
Okay, we are back. Just let me finish up some of these thoughts. Again, we're talking about not global warming, which is, of course, a major factor, but we're talking about climate change. In the last couple of years, we talked about Joplin, Missouri, and Tuscaloosa. The Arctic has melted for the first time in thousands of years. Unprecedented mega floods in Australia, New Zealand, and Pakistan just in the past year. The Amazon has just come through its second 100-year drought in the past 5 years. Now, a 100-year drought is one that you might expect every 100 years. This has just been its second in the past five. Pine forests across the western part of this continent obliterated by a beetle and many, many others. So when you're thinking about climate change, think about what's really happening. Just look at it. You look in your own area when you see unusual weather. If it was once or twice, you say, all right, well, these are local anomalies. But when you put it all together, it's not local. The political thing, the U.S. House of Representatives voted 240 to 184. I guess it was recently, I'm not sure, but whenever, they just did vote it. They defeated a resolution simply saying that climate change is occurring. It's caused largely by human activities and poses significant risks for public health and welfare. They voted that down, 240 to 184. So the politics over the science, as usual. Last year, there was a failed grain harvest from the Russian heat wave. Queensland also had a failed grain harvest. France and Germany's current drought-related crop failures. The death of the winter wheat crop in Texas. Remember, it is important to not disrupt the record profits of our fossil fuel companies. So speak about these things in whispers, okay? I have some more editorial remarks. I do have a guest on the line. Let me just see if I can get through these quickly. Some say that the United States is the greatest country in the world. Maybe so, but I dare say that many who do say that out of patriotism rather than experience. Some do go traveling and come back and say, yeah, well, I'm still happy to be back. The USA is the best. Well, okay, at least they've tried other places. But of course, this is home. This is where the language and customs are familiar. So it's really hard to say. You know, it's like I watch 2.5 Men rather than Channel 13, which might have a great masterpiece theater, because I'm comfortable with 2.5 Men. I like it. I don't care what culture is on that. But don't poo-poo the culture and say, well, our stuff is just better. America's a fine country, and most people in most countries believe theirs is the best. I've spoken to many Hispanics who come here to work, and I ask them why. They say money, and where will they retire? They're going home. Mexico, Peru, Ecuador, Venezuela. Why do so many people come here? Because there is money to be made. A recent Gallup poll, people in most countries are more likely to attribute global warming to human activities than to natural causes. The major exception is the United States, where nearly half the population attributes global warming to natural causes. Either you wake up or you won't have to wait for the rapture, because we'll be destroyed by other less lofty things. We did not sign the Kyoto Protocol. I guess we're going to have to wait for the rest of these remarks, perhaps next time, because I don't want my guests to wait. And my guest today is Peter Montgomery. He's a researcher and writer. He writes especially about the religious right for People for the American Way, which is a Washington, D.C.-based NGO, non-governmental organization. Welcome from Washington, D.C. Welcome, Peter Montgomery.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Good morning. It's my pleasure to have you. How is the weather down in Washington today?
It is beautiful spring getting into summer.
Well, I think that's about what we're looking at here, too. I especially wanted to talk to you, Peter, about David Barton. He is a right-wing guy. We have a couple of minutes before we take our first break. First of all, tell us who he is and who takes him seriously.
Sure. David Barton is a self-taught and self-proclaimed historian who has, for the last 20 years or so, developed a huge following in the religious right, promoting his version of American history, which is that the founders were Christians who intended to create a Christian nation, and that that's all been taken away from Christians by horrible secular elites who are hiding the country's real history from people. And he has a wide range of political activities. Also, he's a Republican Party activist. He was the vice chair of the Texas Republican Party for about 8 years. But he really has made his name on this Christian nation history. And he became much more popular in the last year or so when Glenn Beck started having him on his television show and promoting his books. And, of course, being on Glenn Beck's show sent his books up the bestseller list.
Beck is now defunct.
The problem is not just that he's peddling this bad history, but that we have a lot of Republican Party officials, including people who want to be president, praising him and taking him seriously and giving him credibility that he doesn't at all deserve.
Okay, now Glenn Beck is gone now, right? So is that, does that still stick?
Pardon?
I mean, Glenn Beck is no longer on the air. Am I correct? Or is he?
No, Glenn Beck had a huge audience of people that got to hear David Barton, you know, peddling this bad history.
Okay.
But they also, Barton also has been embraced by Newt Gingrich and by Michelle Bachmann and by Mike Huckabee, people who have their own very large audiences. And so he gets promoted by Republican Party officials.
And do people who read actual historians and compare what they say with what he says, are there enough of them, or are people just, they just, as very often is the case, want to believe what they want to believe? And
I think they want to believe what they want to believe, and partly because it's politically useful for them to believe this. I mean, David Barton is not a historian in any manner of the way that sort of other historians would think of their jobs.
Doesn't he have a BA from Oral Roberts University or something?
Well, he looks at history, he collects all these old documents, which gives him this veneer of credibility, because he says, here's the 1897 letter from John Adams, and here's their colonial era sermons. But he's not treating them like a historian would. He's like sifting through, looking for little phrases he can pull out, things he can take out of context to make his political point about you know, what he sees as the religious intentions of the founders.
So he's a politician in acting as if he were an evangelical?
He is definitely an evangelical, but he is, you're right, he's a politician acting as if he's a historian. I said that he's a historian the same way that the people that say that the Earth is 6,000 years old are scientists.
Well, they don't pretend to be scientists.
Well, certainly some of them do. There's a whole movement of creation science with a big museum up there south of Cincinnati that supposedly makes the scientific case for a 6,000-year-old universe and the literal reading of the Book of Genesis.
Okay, but so, do they just use...
They make those claims, but the scientists don't take them seriously. Unfortunately, there are a lot of elected officials and millions of people around the country who do take Barton seriously, and it gives them a distorted view of the history and our Constitution.
Okay, Peter.
This false persecution.
Peter, we have to take a break. Let me cut you off. We'll be back
sure.
in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460, New Rochelle, New York. This is Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lemonsold. My guest is Peter Montgomery, speaking to us from Washington, D.C. And we will be right back.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. They typically help people rebuild homes, but this morning, it's a supply company that needs a fix-up after vicious storms rake through the country's midsection.
Plumbing supply company called Southern Pipe and Supply, and these guys are still working. The roof has gone off the building, but it's not slowing them up.
Earl Farrell with Fox TV affiliate WHBQ in West Memphis. No additional reports of deaths from last night's storms. In Joplin, Missouri, 125 confirmed dead from Sunday's tornado.
No more survivors found in the rubble of homes like those that surround me. More than 900 injured, even more missing, including Tracy Pressler's nephew. Will Norton had just graduated high school when the storm hit, sucking him out of the family's SUV. Among the dead, a toddler who was ripped from his mother's arms. She is being treated for serious injuries.
Fox Radio's Jennifer Kuiper, and the economy grew at an annual rate of 1.8% in the first quarter. Fox News, we report, you decide.
There's the updated weather forecast for Westchester County and vicinity for the remainder of this month of May, and a look into early June weather. As a matter of fact, for the next several days, it looks dry. We do have the possibility of some scattered showers or a thunderstorm maybe late Saturday or Saturday evening, but it looks like basically dry weather right up through Thursday of next week. And progressively warmer, too. The normal highs are around 74. Normal nighttime lows, 58. Going to be well above that next several days. Mostly sunny today. Our temperatures will range between 80 and 85. And for the evening, partly cloudy, some patchy fog towards daybreak, mid-60s. Mostly sunny on Friday. Friday's highs, middle 80s. A range of about 83 to 88. Then partly cloudy at night. Overnight lows, mid-60s. Into the holiday weekend, Saturday, mostly sunny, upper 70s, near 80 on south winds. Could be a shower, an isolated thunder shower on Saturday evening, but then Sunday partly sunny, highs near 80. Memorial Day Monday, it starts to warm up, 83 to 88 degrees, and some spots near 90 on a Memorial Day Monday with sunshine. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, mostly sunny each day, or highs in the 80s, nighttime lows in the 60s. Recapping for today, plenty of sunshine or highs of 80 to 85. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
You made it through a tough winter.
Congratulations, congratulations, congratulations.
Welcome to spring from WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
We are back. We are speaking with Peter Montgomery of People for the American Way in Washington, D.C. We are speaking about David Barton. We're trying to figure out if his true persona is evangelist or politician. He sounds more like a politician to me, but that's because I think most evangelists have other agendas than just simply promoting God and Jesus. I think they usually have much more. Okay, now you're back with us, right, Peter?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Actually, David Barton speaks with God. Now, does that automatically discount him from serious discourse, or does that help him among people who like the idea that God is actually involved?
Well, I would say that in this country it does not keep him out of our political discourse, because we have plenty of elected officials, or people who hope to be elected officials, who feel that they are called by God to be running for office. And
do they speak with him, though?
Pardon?
Do they actually speak with him directly?
Well, I don't know how if many of them say that. I know that I think Michelle Bachmann and others have said that they're following God's calling and doing their political work.
Well,
Pat Robertson is one of the few people who really talks about explicitly, getting, instructions and from God, and there's a whole movement out there of the sort of new apostolic reformation and prophets who are increasingly working with the religious right to help elect conservative politicians.
Well,
and that movement is a whole group of people who call themselves apostles and believe they get direct revelation from God. So
there's
plenty of that in our political culture today.
Direct revelation is not, if that means speaking with God. Now I spoke with God once. It was back in the in the 70s, somebody gave me a little piece of blotter paper and said, "Here, just suck on this for a little while." So I don't know what was on that paper, but I spoke to God. But then
the interesting thing about David Barton's communications with the divine, a lot of his involve these sort of outlandish interpretations of Scripture, and strangely enough, they always seem to line up in a tune with a right-wing political agenda and right-wing economic agenda. One of the interesting things about Barton in the last couple of years is that he has really branched out beyond this sort of Christian nation history to make claims that Jesus and the Bible are opposed to progressive taxation. Jesus is opposed to the capital gains tax. He's opposed to the minimum wage. He's opposed to collective bargaining for unions. So he's got a whole, he treats the Bible with the same respect, I would say, that he treats historical documents, which is not with a lot of respect, but with a lot of effort to manipulate and use them to support his political ends.
So he takes political ends, and he just makes stuff up, and he gives it the credibility, in quotes, of the Bible. So instead of just saying, well, we believe this, he says God believes it, therefore we must believe it. In fact, didn't he say all Christians must vote Republican?
Well, yeah, and one of the things that's destructive about this, and a lot of what he says seems so ridiculous that it just seems, that our reaction should be to laugh it off. But the problem is that a lot of people do take him seriously. And it feeds this really, poisonous political culture, because if he makes he and his allies in the Republican Party make every issue a religious issue, mm-hmm. then your opponents are not just people who disagree with you. They're people who are enemies of faith and are enemies of God. And that's the way that Barton and you know, Glenn Beck and others have talked about President Obama and the Democratic congressional leadership. They're not just, you know, other Americans who have disagreements about policy.
Now,
they are anti-religious and un-American and actually anti-God.
Okay, now I know...
That makes it hard to have negotiations or reach compromise, because how can you reach compromise with someone who's anti-God?
Well, look, I know smart Republicans and I know dumb Democrats, but how do the smart voters view this guy? I mean, has he credibility among them? You can be a person of faith and not be a Looney Tune. You can believe in God and also believe that let God have his place and give him his homage.
Obviously, who don't agree with Barton's take on Scripture, and I think that, you know, most people would not recognize a lot of what he says about the Bible. But you know, there is a there's a strong element of the Republican Party base in this country that is based in conservative evangelicals who have for years been hearing messages like this, not only from David Barton, but from also you know, all the religious right activist organizations that are out there. There are a lot of big groups with huge budgets, with radio networks, telling people the same kind of thing. And
now,
so when you get this message over and over again from people that you trust that say, you know, this was meant to be a Christian nation, but these horrible secularist elites are stealing it from you, and that's why you need to
get
involved in politics and elect conservative Republicans.
Peter, let me stop you just for a second. I don't know what kind of phone you're on, some kind of either internet phone or cell phone. So you're not hearing me really. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw a few things out, and then when I'm done, you can talk about those. Okay.
All right.
First of all, David Barton was named by Time Magazine as one of the 25 most influential evangelicals in America. He was tapped by the Republican National Committee to bring his brand of pseudo history to evangelical pastors around the country as part of the Republican effort to mobilize the right in support of President Bush. That was then. Barton has been long waging his own deceptive efforts to generate African-American and Hispanic support for the GOP also. He's against homosexuals in the military, but okay, that's a political point of view. Many others feel the same way. Senator Brownback called Barton's research the philosophical underpinning for a lot of the Republican effort in the country today, which is bringing God back into the public square. Now, Barton says the founding fathers were evangelical Christians. They were evangelical Christians, and they intended to create a nation of, by, and for Christians, which as a Jew, I kind of take offense at that. I'm an American. By all means, Christians are, but so are Muslims, and so are every other religion. So Christianity has to live in a melting pot country. That's the way I feel about it. Okay, now say stuff.
No, I'm glad you mentioned all those things. I mean, one of the other destructive things that Barton says, and this gets very much to the point about the fact that this is a religiously diverse country, and I would say that the First Amendment and the separation of church and state are the very heart of what it means to be America, and, you know, really what defines Americans as different from European countries was this real effort to protect religious liberty and keep religion and the state separate. And David Barton actually says that the First Amendment was really not about pluralism. It was not about protecting religious minorities. It was just there to keep the government from sort of taking sides with one branch of Christianity against another branch of Christianity. And of course, you know, if you really believe that, that gives you a view of the Constitution that I think is very dangerous for our country.
He's preaching basically, if not racism, he's including blacks and Hispanics as long as they're Christians. So I don't know, what's the equivalent bigotry against other faiths?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, David Barton's interaction with the black community is, again, all about politics. People for the American Way actually did a report on him about 5 years ago, an earlier report, that looked at this fake documentary that he was taking around the country and showing to black churches in an effort to get more African Americans voting for Republicans. And this documentary sort of looks at sort of blames all the bad history in America around race relations on the Democratic Party, you know, slavery and lynching and Jim Crow, and there certainly was a lot of bad support for that from Southern Democrats.
Sure.
But then his history stops in the 1960s.
With Lyndon Johnson.
He doesn't talk at all about the Republicans' use of racial resentment after the passage of civil rights legislation and the signing into law by Lyndon Johnson. So it's just another example of how he's really dishonestly presenting history in support of his political agenda.
And also the fact is that those Democrats who were racist and lynchers are all switched over to the Republican Party. That's his choir now.
The civil rights legislation passed, the whole, you know, the Republican Party did a, you know, brazenly racist appeal to Southern conservatives.
Absolutely. And they won them.
Parties.
They won them. Now, he gets money from the Republican National Committee, if I read it right. Is that all his money?
Travel around the country and help get George W. Bush reelected.
How about now? How does he make his money now? And also, how does he spend it? I mean, is he one of these high living guys or what?
You know, I don't. I've never seen any indication that he's a particularly high living guy. I do think he does very well. I think, you know, like a lot of people who operate their own little empires like this, His Wall Builders is the name of his organization.
Right.
It has both for-profit and non-profit arms. I think he makes a lot of money in speaking fees. I think he has made a lot of money, particularly in last year, selling his books, because Glenn Beck helped him sell a lot more books. So I think he has his fingers in a lot of pots.
Interesting. Okay, Peter, we're going to take another break. You'll be with us till 11, I hope, or shortly before that.
Yep.
You're listening to WVOX AM 1460, New Rochelle, New York. I am Bob Lebensold. If you're listening in Little Rock, Arkansas, Little Falls, New York, New Jersey, or Minnesota, or Big Beaver, Pennsylvania, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You're listening live. I am Bob Lebensold, if I didn't tell you that before. My guest is Peter Barton of People for the American Way. And this is WVOX, and we will be right back.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. The economy is crawling along.
The government says the economy grew by just 1.8% in the first quarter, half the rate of last quarter. Government spending cuts are also dragging the economy. The report says public sector spending is down more than 5%.
Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern. It's still a search and rescue in Joplin, Missouri.
No more survivors found in the rubble of homes like those that surround me. Many hundreds still unaccounted for, including Tracy Pressler's nephew. Will Norton had just graduated high school when the storm hit, sucking him out of the family's SUV. Among the dead, a toddler who was ripped from his mother's arms. She is being treated for serious injuries.
Fox News Radio's Jennifer Kuiper in Joplin. Cambridge, Massachusetts, home of Harvard University, is the most well-read city in America, according to Amazon.com. Second place goes to Alexandria, Virginia. Fox News, we report, you decide.
We're looking for the next Mike Francesa, Michael Kay, Boomer and Carton, or WVOX alum John Bronstein.
WVOX and WVOX Worldwide at WVOX.com now has program time available for rising young sports broadcasters.
And you can now produce or host an hour or half hour for your own sports talk show.
Our David O'Shaughnessy has all the details about special reduced airtime costs for independent sports talk producers.
Call David now to reserve your own weekly time slot and start booking your own guests. 914-636-1460 for special prices for sports talk show hosts on WVOX and worldwide at WVOX.com.
We have ways of making you talk.
Right here at 1460 WVOX and worldwide at WVOX.com.
1460 WVOX.
We are back. We're speaking with Peter Montgomery of People for the American Way. Washington, D.C.-based NGO, that's non-governmental organization. So we're talking about David Barton, who is an evangelical Christian, right-wing, and he whips up a lot of sentiment on the right. Let me ask you something, Peter. Can we break down, first of all, how many people do take him seriously? And can we break that down demographically somehow, like all Republicans under 25 or all people with IQs under 100 or all white people who wear cowboy hats and live in Arkansas? I did watch a YouTube video in preparation for this interview, and biased though my observations might be, he looked a little crazy to me. So is he just a charlatan who makes things up, or is his research just lacking, or is he really smart as a fox, or is he just a wacko freak?
Let me see there.
A lot of questions.
I would say that sometimes he makes things up. I would say in some ways he is smart as a fox. He has found a way to make a living for himself and his family by promoting this kind of history. He has made himself very popular and sought after among Republican candidates and Republican and state legislators. So he is someone who has an agenda and has been very creative in pushing it. I also want to say that one of the other things that he is part of is this very large movement on the religious right to discredit environmentalism and to portray environmentalism as anti-Christian and anti-religious, and that is one of the other things that he's lending his name to in a very big way right now.
So this sounds as if he's being paid off by the big oil companies and other polluters who want this message to reach religious people. I mean, anti-environmentalism, then you're completely divorcing yourself from any semblance of science or fact.
Well, you know, science and fact have never really mattered too much to him, and I think to a number of the other religious right groups. And it's, you know, I just don't know. I can't tell you whether or not he's getting any direct money from oil companies. Certainly some other religious right figures we know are part of efforts like that. But it's also, it's just another way for religious right groups to play in politics and in their minds to show that they are useful to conservative politicians and to get influence over politicians. So they have a whole campaign called Resisting the Green Dragon, and the Green Dragon is the environmental movement, which they say is deadly to human life and human freedom and deadly to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Okay, so Peter...
Fortunately, there are a lot of Christians who are sort of going the other direction, and even among evangelicals, there is sort of a movement to do better about taking care of creation, and in some ways, this push by the conservative part of the religious right is an effort to try to stop that.
How many people take David Barton seriously? I mean, is it a real threat? Can he really influence elections? I mean, Glenn Beck was instrumental in the Tea Party's successes. Does this fellow have the same clout?
Well, he didn't have the same level of audience that Beck did, although Beck shared his audience with him. But he has influence with a lot of state legislators and members of Congress. He has helped a lot of people get elected to office. I would say he has major influence through his... He has an ongoing daily broadcast, a radio broadcast that's also available on his website. So, you know, the percentage of the American public that you could classify as conservative evangelicals, you know, depending on which polls you look at, could be, you know, about 20% of the population. But if you start looking at that, you know, and that is overwhelmingly a Republican group, so you start looking at the influence on the Republican Party primaries in a lot of places, particularly in the Southeast, where evangelicals are most concentrated, you know, you have a very large percentage of the Republican Party base are conservative evangelicals who share a lot of these opinions.
Okay, but then they're not going to sway anybody up north, really. Tell me, when politicians sign on to this fellow's roster, is it all just cynical politics? They see that they can win a certain thing. Are politicians, I mean, I have very grudging respect for very few politicians. The rest of them, I think, are crap and whores. But is it all just cynical politics, or do they actually believe some of this stuff? Are they themselves right-wing Christians of a certain intelligence who want this to be true, or they say, oh, let's use this guy even though he's full of crap?
You know what? I would say there's a mix. There are definitely true believers, who are involved in politics, who are members of Congress, who some of whom want to be president of the United States.
Right.
And I do think that there are some political leaders who figure out how to use various elements of the conservative coalition and know what to say to appeal to different parts of the audience. But there's no question that the influence of the religious right and the Republican Party is still very strong. You know, the mainstream media has very frequently tried to declare the religious right to be dead, and it just never is, because there's a big part of our culture. There's a huge infrastructure of organizations and universities and churches who are not going away, and there's significant amount of polling that shows that there's a big overlap between the Tea Party movement and the religious right. And so while the Tea Party movement really got energized around economic issues, we've seen that with a lot of the politicians who got swept into power in the last election, they immediately started going after Planned Parenthood and family planning services and really carrying out a religious right agenda as much as a Tea Party agenda. And that is a reflection of the fact that a lot of the candidates who were identified with the Tea Party were also very much aligned with the religious right on their issues.
Okay, now let's just switch a little bit. The former governor of Massachusetts, his name escapes me, running for...
Mitt Romney.
He's a Mormon, correct?
Yes.
Now, are Mormons credible Christians? Or, I think of them as a cult, but I tend to be biased in some ways. I tend to think of most religious groups as cults. But the Mormons seem to be more so. Does he have credibility among Christians?
As you ask, I would say that a lot of conservative evangelical Christians do not consider Mormons to be Christians, and it was a problem for Mitt Romney, and it will continue to be a problem for Mitt Romney, I believe, among a lot of conservative evangelicals. In fact, there was just a major conservative, whose columns run in the American Family Association, who just wrote a piece on basically saying that Christians should not even consider voting for Mitt Romney, because if he became president, that would have the effect of promoting Mormonism, which he described as a false religion. And that, so I think among the religious right, there were some leaders who actually did embrace Romney because they thought he had a chance to win and could appeal to a lot of Americans. But I think Romney is always going to face a pretty good chunk of conservative evangelicals in Republican Party primaries who have a very negative view of Mormonism and do not themselves voting for a Mormon president.
Okay, now most Christians are mainstream like everybody else. The only thing that separates a Christian from a Jew is the building they walk into to worship. They're not religious right. They're just they have their religion. That's their spiritual practice. And then the rest of the time they look at politics as it is. They accept science. They look at healthcare reform, they look at abortion, and they filter everything through their own belief system. And they don't just buy what some guy on a soapbox says. Where are the percentages here? How much does a smart, level-headed person of any party, Democrat or Republican, have to worry about this particular group that Barton seems to head up?
Well, no group is monolithic, even conservative evangelicals. But there's maybe about 20% of Americans who consider themselves evangelical Christians, about 25% who are Catholic, somewhere between 15 and 20 sort of mainline Protestants, which are sort of the more traditional denominational groups, you know, Methodists and Lutherans and Presbyterians. And, you know, within a lot of those, there's a real range from politically conservative to politically liberal. You know, Catholics are kind of a swing voter group these days. Mainline Protestants are a swing voter group that's tending a little bit Democratic. But the conservative evangelicals are, you know, two-thirds, 70% Republican voters, and so that makes them a significantly, you know, a significant-sized chunk of voters.
Okay, so they can influence the Republican primaries and the candidates they choose, but how dangerous are they in a general election, and we just have a half a minute?
Well, it's a mix, and that's a problem for the Republican Party. You know, they have a huge impact. Conservative evangelicals have a huge impact in Iowa, which obviously has a huge role in the selection of the president. And yet, you know, a lot of Americans don't share the religious rights views on things and mistrust them. So it puts candidates in the position of, Republican candidates in the position of appealing to this base that they need to appeal to in order to get through the primaries. And then, you know, alienating or looking extreme, too extreme for general election voters. So
okay.
It's a conundrum for the Republicans.
Peter Montgomery, thank you very much for joining us. We've got to cut you off. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank Peter Montgomery for joining us on Environmentally Sound this morning. Many professionals work hard every day to counter the forces of evil. You must be involved yourself. Our thought for the week, one of my favorites. What profit a man if he escapes the iron shackles of matrimony only to surrender to the sexually frustrated tyranny of a vengeful ex-wife? Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community station. Next up, Howard Sturman. Remember that name. This man is going places. I am Bob Lovensold, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.